Blog Talk Radio. special guest in the studio today. We have Grant calling in from Canada, and he's with the band Neighborhood Watch. Hello, Grant.
Hi, Candace. How are you today?
I'm fine. So tell us about tell us about anything you want. We are rated R so that children's parents can monitor that they don't tune in if we accidentally say a naughty word, you know.
Okay.
And I do know that you're with Neighborhood Watch.
That's correct. Not to be confused with the Venice Band or the Chula Vista Band or the Toronto Band. And I think there might be a band from the Netherlands as well with that name.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know. I didn't think it was that great a name, but there you go. There's lots of people using it. yeah, we've been around since 85, active till about 89. Then, you know, punk rock, everyone goes their separate ways.
We don't. I mean, bands come, you know, band members come and go, but, you know, us diehards, we're in it. We're lifers.
That's for sure. I think everybody's pretty much stayed in the scene more or less, but we all just kind of had, the marriage got a little sour. Everybody kind of went there. Everybody had other things they wanted to do.
And punk rock doesn't pay very much, you know.
No, it doesn't pay the bills at all. Not at least, some bands I'm sure are getting their rent paid. We're not one of them. Our guitarist back in 2013 approached me and said, we should do a reunion tour. And I was just like, you talk to Nick and Rob, you work it out, and I'll be there, fully thinking, yeah, that's the last I will ever hear of this talk, and I can go back to, you know, doing my thing. And a few months later, he's like, yeah, they're in. And then he worked out all the issues that were going on because we were spread out over three different parts of the country. But we pulled it all together and did a reunion show, and after it was over, Nick and Rob went back home, and Connor's like, you want to keep doing this? And I'm like, let me think about it. Then we just never stopped. We had to change some members up, obviously. Then we put an album out in July. Did like a 300 copy run, and it's selling well, which is incredible since we can't really play anywhere. You know,
right,
the pandemic.
Right.
Everything shut down.
I know it did. I know. I had some things being manufactured, and all of a sudden they're like, not answering the phone. And our production for Crankshaft's 35 Years on Mystic, Lucky 13, had to get redone just a couple months ago. And a lot of things were put on hold. But, you know, it's really good that your band did the reunion tour and, you know, held it together. That is really cool, you know. Things are starting to open up here in the United States. How about there in Canada?
Again, they are opening up. Canada is rather large country. And the regions are quite different from each other. So
I know.
Where I live, I went to work every day. You know, our store never shut down. But,
sure.
You know, I know you go to Toronto or Montreal and they shut the whole city down.
Wow.
There's a less of a population here. But the economic damage is going to be felt for years and years.
It's devastating. Yeah, it is. Everywhere, worldwide, it's you know, showing damage.
And I think even during the time of the pandemic, like one of the major lacquer factories for doing vinyl records burned to the ground, and a lot of stuff was lost.
Oh, wow.
It made it hard. Like, so it just seemed like every time we were going forward with the record, there would be like some major catastrophe, like we had a pandemic, we had the lacquer plant
right.
burn. So finally we went with a direct-to-metal mastering, which at first we weren't crazy about, but then after we got the test presses back, it's like, wow, it sounds like an 80s record. Perfect.
Nice.
We couldn't complain.
Very good. Well, you have to send me a link where I can listen to your music and check it out.
Absolutely.
Cause, you know, yeah, we're putting together a 50 Years of Mystic compilation that's going to go on vinyl, and we're taking auditions currently.
Ah, okay. Well, I can certainly direct music your way, and you can check out for sure. Anybody
all
can
right.
check it out. We're on Bandcamp.
Oh, sweet.
Or you can find us on Facebook, and there's links. And, you know, I think we've started moving away from streaming services. That was
they
ripped one of the
everybody
things.
Off.
I really, that's not something I do. I don't really stream music. It's not. It lacks the whole ritual of, you know, picking
yeah.
up the record or the cassette or even the CD and being involved with hearing what, going forward with what you're hearing, whereas opposed to it's a click and listen, and I just was never big into it. But I know
streaming was a good idea for those of us who don't like commercials and corporate
fair
radio,
enough.
You know.
True.
But the main problem is the fact that, like Spotify, they pay like maybe not even 1%. You know, I have
yeah.
artists that made like brought in 900 streams and they gave them $9. It's like, are you serious? You're banking
on
15.
And you know those
15...
bands had to hustle
yeah.
to get those streams. And
yeah,
yeah, see, I that's just like, no, I really don't feel
that's
like
not fair.
Supporting
that's
someone
that's
like
not
that.
Fair.
It doesn't. No, it's not. And it didn't work for me. I was never into it. Kyron was more the tech guy, and he was, by the end of it, he was just like, this is such a train wreck. And I was like, oh,
it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was nice when Apple iTunes, you know, you could go ahead and download the whole album. And we have all of our albums. Our new artists, I've put together 250 new artists in the last 10 years. And
well, yes.
Most of them are on iTunes.
I think you and I talked about it before. I had picked up the Modern Enemy Fatal Error split album because
that
my buddy Steve, that's a killer record. You should be proud
it
of
is.
That. My buddy
I
Steve
am. Thank
plays
you.
Bass. Well, yeah, he played bass in Fatal Error. He's actually from the band Mad Parade. And
oh, yeah.
Fun
I'm
fact.
Very familiar, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, obviously, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I
yeah.
really enjoyed that album. I was like, it's new stuff, and I see you guys have more new stuff coming out.
We do.
It's really good. I mean, it's great to see the reissues and, like, the specially treated variants and things, but
well,
it's
the reissues
nice
are
out.
At a they're going down like the dinosaurs. There will be no more. So whatever is left in the vault is all going, and it will not be repressed. Yes.
Okay. So what
we're
you're
clearing
saying is,
the floor. We're clearing the floor to make way for the new bands.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, then I'll have to message you later about some older records that you may have laying around because I was looking at the website and I saw a lot of stuff there I was interested in.
Well, you know, it took me 4 months to build, but that wasn't every day. I started it in January and spent 2 days on it, and then I left it for about 3 months because I had other things to do, and then I finished it in the last 2 days before I went live yesterday with it, and I'm very pleased with it. And the platform just told me that they're adding a sitemap, which will make it easier because I went to it on my phone, and I figured out myself that if you click on those little bars, it'll take you to all the different the menu. And
right.
Then if you click on the cart, it takes you to the store. So I didn't find that real user-friendly, so there's going to be a sitemap on the front page as soon as they get that up and running. But I have so many photos to add in the photo galleries for our new artists, and I'm just so excited about it. I really like it, and the new artwork and the new logo for Mystic and everything. Doug came up with that. Mystic Land is in your hand.
Great.
And then our
awesome.
Drummer, one of our drummers is a professional artist, and he drew the new logo with the hand holding the Mystic logo. And, you know, the Mystic logo was a negative of Doug Moody's skull, and he had an artist draw it and then add the yin and yang over it. Because at first, Mystic Sound just had the yin and yang, and copyright office told him, no, you can't use that. You got to do something different. It's like, well, he had just been to the doctor and had this x-ray of his melon, you know, so he put it all together. So that's our punk rock papa there. He's going to be 93 this year. God bless him.
Oh, my gosh, 93. And, you know, that logo is really iconic. Like,
I don't know anybody
that doesn't know what it is. Like, the moment you see it, you're just like, oh, Mystic Records, easy.
Right.
But, yeah, and it's funny. I didn't know about that the skull was actually supposed to be Doug's skull until
a couple months
ago.
It is.
Yeah. That's a neat little touch to that. I really enjoy that. I like the little touches people put into their work.
Yeah, I like that too. It's great. I asked him about the tooth there, and he popped out his plate, and he said, oh, there's that broken tooth.
Very cool.
I know. Well, you know, I first met him in, like, 1982. Mystic Studio, Mystic Sound, where he recorded all the bands, was on a street called Selma, and currently it's part of the L.A. subway now, but directly across, it was on the around the corner from the Argyle and Selma, and the nightclub that I used to, between Hollywood Boulevard and Sunset, and the Palladium was down at Sunset, and the Palace was up Hollywood Boulevard on the other side. So we got a lot of traffic at the nightclub. It was a two-story nightclub called the Café du Grand. It became the biggest punk palace in the world, actually. We had two stages going 7 days a week. And actually, the club, the Café du Grand, the building is still there. They call it the Argyle. And they remodeled it. It's absolutely beautiful. Before the pandemic hit, they were charging $1,000 a table for a New Year's Eve party they were having. It's like, woo-wee. We used to charge.
Someone's uptown, that's for sure. $1,000
right?
a table.
$1,000. I called because I wanted a reservation. I wanted to go to the old club. And it's like, yeah, okay, I'm good with that. I mean, come on, Tuesday nights I used to have 7 bands for $1, you know?
<Yeah.
laughs> Get in for a dollar night, you know?
Well, I think the Café du Grand always kind of had a bit of a, often it was, you know, preempted with the phrase infamous. Even back here, we had always heard of that club. There was always certain L.A. clubs that, would, you know, it would just travel. It was just as, they were almost as important, I shouldn't say almost as important, they were as newsworthy as the bands were. Like, oh, such and such is, you know, got an album out, oh, there's a new club, it's, you know, there's Fenders, there's the Vex, there's Café de Grand. These were all places that even way out here on the Atlantic coast,
sure,
we were familiar with as places.
Well, just like we're familiar with CBGBs, you know, New York's
exactly.
CBGBs. The punk world is very close-knit.
That it is. It's really weird. We'll be playing a show, and there'll be some older person in the back, and then they come up, and we realize, oh, this is someone that used to be in our town, or we played with their band back in the 80s or whatever, and it's interesting. I'm in touch with a lot of the people from that, and it's interesting to see where they've all kind of gone, like a lot of graphic artists, a nurse. I know there's one that's a dentist or an orthodontist, one of the two. Another guy has a record label, and, you know, they all still kind of, they're either full-on into it or sort of into it, but there's not too many of those people that just vanished. Wherever they are, I don't know
That's
who they
true.
Are anymore. I haven't seen them. I know they're still around, but they never go to shows, you know.
Well, you know, in 2012, I had a Café de Grand reunion, and Don Bowles from the Germs came, the original Entropy, Circle One. Louis Mayorga came from Suicidal Tendencies, Tim Galeos from Bad Religion. I mean, Gary Tovar from Golden Voice. I don't know if you remember
Voice,
Golden
yeah.
Voice. Yeah. And, you know, just Tequila Mockingbird came, you know, and so many. John Ranson of the Smut Peddlers came with his other band, The Boners. Sorry
oh, okay.
State. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Fallujah 71, I brought in as the young kids for the young generation. Billy Bones came, formerly the Skulls.
Mm-hmm. I have his solo record. Well, I shouldn't say solo, but a couple records that he did just under the name Billy Bones, and great
nice.
Stuff.
Nice
yeah,
guy,
the guy's
too.
Definitely got talent to spare.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy. It was really fun to see everybody again. And that was the whole purpose of it, you know. It's like everybody showed up, and we had a good time. And, you know, we're all still around. You know, we just needed an excuse to get together, and then this pandemic hit, and it really put a damper on things, you know.
That's for sure. I think the last show we played, it was during the pandemic, but it was cleared by the city to play, but it was set up very strange. People had to stay at tables that were spaced. They were easily 10 to 15 feet apart. You had to keep a mask on unless you were drinking. There was a little light on the table. You pressed a button, and that would trigger a waitress to come over and take your order, and then she'd go away and come back. And it was because of the amount of people that were there, we could only have two bands play, and the cover was $20.
Wow.
$20 for two local punk rock bands. And I think at the end of the night, we ended up splitting something like $750-some-odd. There was like, I think someone
That's not bad.
Came in late or something. But it was so strange, Candace. It was the weirdest show I ever played. And at one point, our bass player, Bob, leaned over. He goes, "This is what it's going to be like to play in seniors' homes." And I was like, "Oh, Jesus Christ, this is where I'm going. This is what it's going to be."
Oh, no.
Yeah. But our fan base has changed considerably in the last few years. Like, after the reunion show, a lot of the older people kind of went, well, okay, that was fun as fun, but, you know, I have kids and I have work and I have this and that, and I can't go out Thursday night till 2 in the morning because I have to
right.
be up in the morning to do stuff. So now we have like this kind of younger fan base, and it's really weird because they're all like 18, 19, 20, 21. They're all in that very young age group.
Sure.
And it's interesting. It's very interesting because we've always been about keeping communication open. That's always been kind of the unspoken mantra, is that always keep talking, because otherwise you're no different than some band that's just in it for the cash. And
I don't know any punk rock bands that really are just in it for the cash. I mean, well, yeah, you know, it's like a lot of the songs are so timeless, you know, unless they're yelling that Ronald Reagan is a mofo, but, you know, that kind of dates them. But, you know, a lot of the songs are just, you know, I Hate Cops by the Authorities, you know. They're all frickin' piggers.
I know. That'll
never get old.
No, because it's just kind of, it's the voice of being 17 and pissed off.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes.
There's always going to be teenagers, and there's always going to be cops, and, well.
Yep. And you know, I've noticed the younger group, too. I mean, my oldest grandchild out of six is 26 years old, and she grew up on punk rock. And she started leaning more toward the metal side, and her first concert that I took her to was Ozfest, and she was digging on Bullet for My Valentine and all the other little bands leading up to it. And I let her take, you know, brought one of her little friends in too, you know, so they could hang out together. And Grandma just went off in front of Disturbed stage. And I was holding onto the cage in front because I love Disturbed. But, boy, that pit was wild and bloody. Those guys were beating the crap out of each other, and it's like, okay, you know, we had some pretty wild pits with Suicidal Tendencies where they destroyed the club in Ventura, and we were all college kids at the time back in the early 80s, you know. I mean, these punkers were actually swinging on these lights. They looked like a wagon wheel, and they were round, and it... We ended up in the back booth in the corner, sitting on the back of the booth up against the wall, watching everybody go crazy. The place was called The Plant. And, closed them down.
Yeah, no doubt, I think.
But nobody got
hurt.
You know, that's the whole thing. I mean, even at a Fear show in Long Beach one time, people had gotten up on stage and messed up the wiring, so it was like an hour, and it was in a circus tent. It was Toys for Tots. You brought a toy, you got in free. This guy climbed up the middle pole of the circus tent, and just as Fear was coming back on, and he dangled by his neck. He put his head through the top of the circus tent and was dangling his arms and legs to the music. And then he started climbing back down, and there was a rope he swung into the pit, and, man, it was on. They were going crazy. But there again, nobody got seriously hurt, you know?
Yeah, I haven't seen too many really violent shows other than, I know there was a stabbing at a Fear show in Montreal. I wasn't at it, but a friend of mine had gone to it, and... I won't say his name because now he's a respected member of Hollywood, but he was like, yeah, I was just tripping balls on acid and everything was fine, and then all of a sudden the band stopped and this guy walked by and there was blood all running down him, and then there was another guy going by with a knife, and he said, by the time I figured out what was going on, there were cops coming through the door, and I was like,
well, you know, there's a lot of gang-related territories where, you know, things like that could happen at any show. But Lee Ving is the nicest guy you ever wanted to meet.
Well, that's what I've heard. He's very much the kind of gentleman of leisure. He's very polite and laid back. I don't know if there was a lot of gangs related to punk rock in Canada that I know of. Mostly it was always, you know, punks and skinheads. It was always going to be that kind of uneasy thing going on. And
that's what was going on in front of the Disturbed stage.
Yeah, that I could understand. We saw Slayer one time, and that was late 80s, early 90s, and that was psychotic. I was just like, no, no, this is way above my pay grade. I'm just going to go over to the side and watch these people beat each other half to death because I don't know what's going on, but this isn't any kind of pit that I'm familiar with.
Right. Well, you know, I booked the Café de Grand till they closed in 86. We reopened a few times and did some small stuff, but LAPD was on us so hard that we never had anything really bad happen inside, but outside there was a girl who got killed. And that closed us down. LAPD said, we've had enough of this. You know, and a lot of the young kids would hang out in the parking lot. And that's where the big trouble was outside. And, you know, we tried to keep security, you know, keep the sidewalk in front of the club clear. But, you know, I mean, it's Hollywood. There's a great big huge parking lot, you know, on either side. Even straight across the street on the corner was a big parking lot, and then Mystic Sound Studio was on the other side of that, you know. So these kids had two parking lots, and when the cops were on them, they'd knock on Mystic Sound, and if anybody was available to open the door, they'd let them in and hide them from the cops.
Which no doubt endeared them to the LAPD, too.
Oh, Mystic was hated by LAPD hard. Really hard. And then with those pot-smoking nuns from, oh, my gosh, you know. And then when we did the Destroy L.A. album, there were literally men in black suits sitting outside watching. And Doug goes out there and he says, come on in, boys. Come on. I know you want to see what's going on in here. Come on in. They were FBI. Because he had this Destroy album out, right? Destroy LA. So they were like on him like white on rice. And after they saw what was going on, you know, it's just a recording studio, they backed off, you know. They came over to us instead at the cafe.
I was actually listening to the Pot Smoking Nuns album, that Pure Righteousness album today, and it just was like when you start collecting Mystic Records, there's a lot of rabbit holes that you end up going down, and I've started getting into the more offbeat stuff, maybe stuff that people aren't really familiar with, like Dennis Anthony and the Angels. And I assume the Angels I'm assuming that must have been like a Mystic house band, because it says all the musicianship and playing is credited to Mystic All-Stars. So I don't know who the Angels actually were, but
they had some hits on the radio. They had some good hits on the radio. Yeah. Well, Doug was into underground music. I mean, he came here in 1963 to New York, and he worked for Mercury Records and was a big A&R producer there, and he discovered a lot of talent. And I forgot where I was going with that, but there's so much. I have such a wealth of knowledge in my brain. It's insane. Anyway, he came to Hollywood and got into the punk scene because he liked the idea of the underground music. He had recorded Stickball with Tony Bruno in New York, and we only have like maybe 10 of those left, and they're red vinyl, and it's the dirtiest, nastiest thing you ever wanted to see, but it's hidden,
but it starts
on
off
the front
so pleasant.
Starts
off so pleasant like that. Music's
yes.
so melting, and it just, let's go down memory lane, and then it just goes sideways, and you're like, oh no.
Well, Doug said that they were filming a movie, and he was recording the sound. And this groupie came up and pulled his pants down and began whipping some skull on him. And that's where that artwork with the Mystic logo that says, "Whip some skull on me," came from. That was an insert that was originally put into the original albums. And that was live. He was actually expressing himself with his groupie live. It didn't make the movie, but okay.
Right. What movie was this that was being filmed?
I have no idea. I would have to ask Doug about it. He has all the details, but there are some big celebrities that used to play that at the beginning of their parties as people were coming in, you know, to
right.
their parties. Yeah.
For
I'm not
sure,
going to name names because I might get sued, but some very big Hollywood stars really liked that record, you know, and were well known for playing it. And then, of course, you've got the Vinegaroons, which were so funny. I mean, these guys are two big wrestlers in real life, you know, the big heavyweight wrestlers, the big fat dudes, you know.
Right.
And they're singing. I don't know what's wrong with my soundboard. I can't scroll down it for some reason. But they sing these songs, and it's another one of the Super 7 series. I think I've got one. And Doug might have one, and that's about it on those. But, I mean, this guy's talking about his double chin and his hairy legs, and one dresses up as a woman in drag, right? And you can tell it's a man,
right.
Big hairy legs. And it's just the funniest thing you ever wanted to hear. I could play it if I could get my...
I don't think I've ever heard that.
I could play it if I could get my soundboard to work. When I tried to call you from the soundboard... It froze on here, and it froze my soundboard, and it won't let me play anything, and it won't let me. Let me see if. Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe it'll let me play whatever I've got shown. I know, isn't it?
Because
I have that on my soundboard here, and I keep trying to close the box where it says "Call a guest," and it says "Click to edit." And it won't. So, I don't know. But, you know.
Yeah, I can help you with that. I'm sorry.
We're reminiscing live, and this is pure from our hearts. It's uncut, you know, uncensored. Just a couple old punkers talking about the good old days and the good days to come in the future.
Good point. Lots of... I'm really excited. There was a lull for a long time around here where there were really, like, the number of bands, it was always the same two or three bands, and now there's, like, these little groups popping up, and I'm, like, so excited that I'm going to eventually be able to go see a show, and I won't
yeah.
know half the bands. I'm, like, so happy
Isn't
about
cool?
that because...
That's cool.
I love going to see and supporting my friends play, but after a while, it's like, oh, do I want to hang out and see Jim's band again? And
right.
it's like, well, they're friends, I'll go. But it's
yeah.
not the same thing as going to see. It's just like seeing a touring band. It's someone you don't know, and you just cross your fingers and you hope for the best. And, that's what I'm really excited about seeing. There's... Fredericton has a two-piece that I think that mostly did bedroom recordings, but now they're actually working towards playing live. as a full band called Kitten Spit, and they are amazing. Our merch person sings for that band.
Nice.
They do an amazing job, and I'm really excited. Interesting venues have been sort of putting feelers out, kind of like once these shots are all going through and everything kind of goes to yellow code or whatever, that there's going to be shows again, and there's going to be bands that are full of people that have spent the whole pandemic just bored, so they started bands, and with any luck at all, you know, they'll get past the giddy first stage and actually start playing a lot, because that would, for a small town like us, it's, you know, your options are pretty limited. No offense to the bands that, like the established bands, like no offense to them whatsoever.
No, but it's nice to see the young generations coming up, you know, and I just found Kitten Spit on Amazon, and it says this is exactly what Tipper Gore feared. I've got to hear these guys. As you know, Tipper Gore got really angry at Mystic and the Mentors, and that's what became censored music, you know. Expose your bored daughters to the toxic combination of heavy metal, death fantasies, punk rock, nihilism, violent rap, and fuck me feminism. And Kitty is what you get. The band bellies of the notion that the only rock from Canada is either by hollowed voiced sirens or is over in, I can't pronounce the word, intellectualized prog rock. The fact that all of the band's members are still in high school is almost incidental, as Spit contains a maturity and insight. That's cute.
That must be a different band.
It says Kitten Spit on Amazon.com.
Spit with two T's?
Oh, no, Spit with one T.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's a different band.
Well, if they pissed off Tipper Gore, they're right up our alley, right? You know?
Oh, no doubt.
It's an all-girl band.
Yeah, Tipper Gore. Yeah, that was pretty much someone that was just really bored, I think, because the moment things got serious with her husband in the elections, she just disappeared. Like, she just stopped talking. I think it was, okay, you have a hobby, that's great. No one's going to take it seriously other than, like, I don't know. I don't know anybody that was really into that, but I do remember there was some group that came to educate parents on what their kids were listening to, and they had a sheet. They handed, like, this flyer. So these were the trigger signs to watch for, because this meant your kid was probably going down the wrong path. And one of the symbols next to a circled A was a Jewish Star of David. And I was like, I think someone's fouled up a little bit with their cut and paste or whatever format they use to make this artwork, because it's like, no, I'm pretty sure that's not like a rock thing. I think your kid is going to be okay.
Right.
It was the 80s. It was ridiculous. Geraldo had, I remember I think that it was the Geraldo show that the Mentors were on.
Yep.
And that just went sideways big time. I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was Mentors and Guar and something like that.
Well, and see, after that, we started, we had really boring Wednesday nights. The club was really not doing anything. So we started El Duce's Cold Seat, and we formatted the show like Wally George, only El Duce would throw people off the stage. And if you could sit on there for for a couple minutes without him insulting you or you getting insulted or him throwing you off. It was priceless. And Video Lewis filmed most of the shows. I used to write the dialogue for El Duce, and then he would ad-lib, and he was so funny. He was such a really, really good comedian. I was just thrilled that, you know, he got into it as he did, you know. And we started getting good write-ups from the LA Weekly. And they were saying, if you don't have anything to do on a Wednesday night, check out the cold seat at the Café de Grand. I'm like, yes. And not too much longer after that, we closed down. But we were packing them in on Wednesday nights. And my soundboard just cleared. And I have access to everything. So would you like to hear the macaroons? Thick and thin?
I certainly would.
Oh, this is so funny. All right. Now, these are two big, fat wrestler dudes, and one's dressed in drag. Late 70s.
Fair enough.
Through thick and thin, and your double chin, I'm only trying to love you. Through thick and thin, I'll try again, if I could only engulf you. Why, tell me, why do I cry so? How, tell me, how do you cry so? So I'll lay your head on the water bed, and though you're floating there with ease, I'm almost dead. I'll make a break and take a break, and then I'll get back in there with my head. To make you through thick and thin, I'll try again, if I could only fornicate you. Why, tell me, why do I thrive so? How, tell me, how do you thrive so? Oh, tell me why, oh, tell me why, oh, tell me why your saggy thigh is in my eyes. It makes me cry, it makes me cry each and every time you sigh.
You've got got to see the cover of this album. It shows the two guys on the front there. And
I'm
going
to have to look that up. That was impressive. Less cowbell, more kazoo is what that song needed. I was like dying over here listening to it. That's great.
I know. I listed it as jug music, you know, under the genre jug, you know, because
fair enough. That's accurate. It's definitely Dr. Demento.
Yes.
Without the kind of abstract weirdness.
Oh yeah, I remember surfing, and we used to be able to drive out on the point at Sunset Beach, and I had the '63 Chevy with Blaupunkt stereo, and I always brought an extra battery, and I would crank it on KMET all day long while we were out there surfing. It was so much fun. Now you can't even drive down onto the beach, let alone the point. They stopped that quite a long time ago. Okay, look, here's a quick one I know you're going to love. Aryan Disgrace.
Okay.
Record was banned, you know.
Yeah, it hasn't aged well.
Mystic had to make a clean version of it.
I remember that. I remember hearing that some words were changed in it.
Sock for cock.
Yeah, it's definitely of its time. I don't know how I would react if I walked into a club and saw some band playing that today. I think I'd be like, yeah, okay. I don't know.
I think they would probably get beat up, you know. There'd probably be a big protest out front, you know. I mean, today's world, you know, it just... There's four copies of it left. One original test pressing out of two in the whole world, and there's only two copies of the original that I just played, and the demo version for the radios to play. They actually did play it on some of the radio stations, like KMET. Dr. Demento used to play that through thick and thin, and it was like on his top 10 requested songs on the Dr. Demento show.
Wow, I had no idea. That's always been like one of those records that's kind of like, do I need this record? And I'm like, probably I don't. To be honest, it will probably never be a record that I own. It's cost prohibitive for me. But at the same time, I mean, I have family members that are gay. I have friends that are gay. I have former bandmates that are gay. And
right.
I just, it would just be one of those things that I'd be like, it's the record I have to hide in the back of the closet, and I don't hide my record.
Yeah,
so.
you wouldn't want anybody to see that. Well, you know, I do have Stickball here. You want to listen to Stickball?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Tony Bruno.
You know, man, I would really dig. I would really, really dig to be able to go back to the things when I was just a little kid, back to the neighborhood, man. Ah, it was a groove then, man. I really, really, I'd like to return to all those things like stickball and stoopball and fistball and basketball and playing in the streets, man. Oh, man, it was a groove in those days, man. I mean, really, it was out of sight, you know? And, like, you met a girl, man, and, oof, she was your love, you know? And you kind of ran together, you know what I mean? You ran up and down the streets together because, like, in those days, love was love, man. Damn.
You have wasted our money, Mr. Zubitio. You have made promises and you broke them. You have violated the trust and the consciousness of the place. We had a deal, Mr. Zubitio. Your bullshit excuses are of little interest to me. Because of your incompetence, we must violate some of our commitments. I have always hated you, Mr. Zubitio.
This is the wrong track. This is off of the movie Zubitio. And they started off with Stickball, and on my soundboard, I just have it listed as Stickball, so, yeah.
Gotcha.
Have you ever seen the movie Zubitio?
I have not. I remember there was, no, it's another movie I'm thinking of, but I remember hearing somewhere that, like, the soundtrack was actually... I think it was just like a standard 1,000 copy pressing, like nothing, like you guys didn't do a huge run on it, but...
No, these are the originals that we have for sale right now on the red vinyl of Stickball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
but I'm
they've never
I've
been
heard...
repressed again.
No? Okay, because I think I was talking with Doug one time, and he was under the impression that someone had been bootlegging it, which I thought was
well.
An odd album...
I doubt it, you know.
It's an interesting soundtrack, but...
Yeah, it is. I don't have it on here, but I just found Tipper a minute ago. Where is it? I love that song, Tipper, by the... I found it here a minute ago. They also did a movie, help me. Oh, here it is. The Dehumanizers. Here it is, Tipper. This is about Tipper Gore. This is a good one.
Tipper, could I dream from your slipper? We could do all those crazy things that you hear about in the song. Mrs. Gore, couldn't you give me more? I know you're married, but your husband...
selfie.
Facebook is a fucking asshole. Fuck you and your fucking friends. Thumbs up for your whiny problems. I don't give a shit about what you ate. I don't care about political taste. I don't care about your dead grandma. Bitch, you're wrong when you get chihuahua. I don't wanna know about your maladies. Don't post pictures of the food you eat. I don't give a shit about who you're with. They suck like you. Go eat a dick. Facebook is a fuck.
That's one of our new bands. I just thought I'd throw that in after Tipper Gore, because it's like, okay, the slow, the fast, the slow, the fast, you know?
And which band is this?
The Whining Pussies.
Oh, okay.
You want to hear more?
Yeah, I was listening.
Like,
I actually have that Dehumanizers album. That was an odd release. It didn't come with a cover, did it? It was just like a generic sleeve.
It did have a cover originally. I have one with the original cover.
Oh, really?
I'll dig it out and take a picture of it for you. Yeah.
Oh, please do, because I was unfamiliar. I was always told that there was never an actual cover.
Really? Huh.
Yeah. It, that's crazy. I did not know that at all. Huh.
Well, you know, aside from Fatal Error, Crankshaft came back with some new music, and here I'll play you a little intro. I love this one. This is just so perfect for.
Okay.
I try to tell you what to do, you listen anyway. I'm tired of your winning, I'm tired of your crying. That's all you ever seem to fucking do.
This is the album that we had in production when the pandemic hit, and it was really a bummer to have it put on hold for like a year.
Yes.
I hit the wrong button. Anyway.
Yeah, I have.
It's a great.
It sounds great. I have them on a couple different records, not just Mystic stuff either. I think they did a track on, what's that Smoke 7 compilation? Sudden Death, the kind of pink album cover. And then I know they did, like, they were on one of those Party Go Home comps. They're on Slimy Valley.
Slimy Valley. They got some good reviews on the Slimy Valley. It came from Slimy Valley Records.
That's a really solid album. And I was glad to see that one actually got reissued. I'm always happy to see stuff get reissued. But that was a really solid album that I don't know how it did. On its original release, it seems like one of those records that kind of gained momentum as time
it
went
did.
On. Like,
yeah, it did.
Yeah, some of them seemed to come out of the gate swinging, and then other, like the Copulation album. I remember when that came out; just everybody had it. It was just bam. But the Slimy Valley, I never really saw until later on, and you'd slowly see copies trickling into stores. But that's around here too, because I think at the time, which would have been what, 83, 84, 85, there was only one distributor in Canada, and that would have been Fringe. And they kind of had a stranglehold on everything. Like, if you wanted, let's say, I'm trying to think of an album, Necros, Conquest for Death, you never got an American pressing. You always got a German pressing. The Misfits, Evil Live, Wolf's Blood, you never saw American pressings. They were always German pressings because all those records were licensed to one label called Aggressive Rock Production. So it was way cheaper for the Canadian distributor to get a wide variety. Like, you know, they would get a bulk lot and they'd only have to get like maybe three or four copies of each to get their minimum order in. Whereas, you know, do they want to order 20 copies of Conquest for Death? Do they want to order 20 copies of Wolf's Blood? Which I know now sounds silly, but at the time, it was a very small market. You just didn't see stuff moving like that. And it certainly wasn't in the major chains. It was all like the mom and pop record shops.
Right. Well, you know, like a good bottle of wine, some things just get better with age.
That is true. That Slimy Valley comp's a perfect example of that. All those comps are actually really, all those Mystic comps are really solid all the way through. Sometimes I found the mastering on some of the We Got Party ones to be a little off and on, but that's like, you know, your source material that you're dealing with. But almost everything else that was done in-house, like the Copulation or Slimy Valley or Nardcore, they're all perfect records, every one of them. They're fabulous records. I'm really excited to see what comes out of Mystic now. Like, I know you said you've got a 50 years of Mystic. It's been that long. My gosh.
Well, 1979, they had Led Zeppelin in the studio. I've got pictures of John Bonham on drums. And when they were doing the Whole Lot of Love, where he goes way down inside, somebody opened the elevator shaft. Mystic Sound was an old bank, and they did the recording in the studio there, and it had an elevator going upstairs, downstairs. And that's how they created that echo chamber. And no one to this day has ever been able to duplicate that sound from Led Zeppelin.
I knew there was some kind of affiliation with Led Zeppelin, but I never knew what it was. So that's, okay, very cool.
They rented the studio, and of course it was not a Mystic, presented by Mystic, you know.
Right.
I forget the label it was on. I remember I was like 14 years old, and I bought a copy of it for my dance class. I was in modern dance, and I just found that album to be so expressive, and I just loved it.
I was very late to the classic rock game. I really didn't listen to music until I was probably 15 or 16. And by then it was like
punk
Kiss and Cheap Trick.
Yeah.
And then along came punk rock and ruined my life completely. And I mean that in the best way possible.
Right, but think about how much fun you had along the way.
Oh, I had a great time. No, I don't know if it ruined my life or saved it. It's always, you know, one or the other, how it is. I like it. It keeps me out of mischief, believe it or not, so I can't complain.
Well, you know, I was the baby of my family, and my mom had this little cord organ, and I would climb up on the bench because everybody was at school, and I could have it all to myself without fighting anybody over it. And I taught myself. It had the fingers on the notes on the sheet of paper, and I could tell by the diagram which fingers to use. And I learned to play every song in the book. And then I learned how I was bored, and I loved the Mickey Mouse Club. And when I learned to play the Mickey Mouse Club by ear, my mom had me play it for my dad, who was a drummer back in the day, in the big band era. And they got me lessons, and then they bought me a little organ. And I soon outgrew that to a Model B organ, and by the time I was 9 years old, I was in the studio recording classical music. I had mastered Franz Liszt, Oscars and Hammerstein, all the old classics, Delia to a Wild Rose. I loved the soundtrack for Born Free, The Sound of Music. Yeah, I was into that. But then I got punk rock, and it's like Chainsaw Fight. These guys are awesome. Wolfman's got nards.
From...
I love these guys. Las Vegas. Chainsaw Fights in Las Vegas.
Right. I'm trying to think. Wolfman's Got Nards. It's from the movie The Monster Squad.
Yes. You're right. They love those old horror movies, and they have several albums out. Do you remember that old Fright Night show, Thanks for the Ride, Lady? The guy keeps getting run over and over and over. They do a song for that. We Don't Need Skin.
Oh, I know which movie, or was it a movie, or was it a...
It was a series.
Twilight Zone episode.
Something, it wasn't Twilight Zone, but it was one of those that was on every week. I forget the name of it now, but... Yeah,
I seem to vaguely remember that. And at the end, he's like, going my way. And
yeah.
He realizes that she's actually dead and that he's supposed to be taking her, escorting her to the other side. And she just not having any part of it.
Right.
That was
right.
A good episode. Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are fun. I like their anthem song. You want to hear their anthem song? Kind of reminds me of the way Metallica gets on that. Dun, 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 dun. I love that, you know. All right, let me play a little bit of it here for you.
Okay. We'll be right back.
all day. So, yeah, that wasn't the right song. I don't know. My soundboard's a little bit here, a little bit there. I don't have them all in the correct order. If they were all in alphabetical order, that would be fine, but I went and put 01 and 00 on ones that I wanted at the top so that if I had the band on and we were doing an interview, I'd be able to go right to the top and there would be their music, you know. And
gotcha.
The next time I have you on, I should have some of your tracks to play.
I will get some of the tracks. Since it's digital, I believe we actually have a digital mix of the album. And
nice.
I can get some of that to you, and you can sample it on your show if you'd like. I'd be happy to do that
Very
for you.
Very good.
I
would love to do that. That would be great.
No worries. I'll get the guys to run the copy off for me, and I'll get it in the mail. I'll get your address, and I'll get that sent out.
All right. Well, you can always send me anything at Candace@MysticRecordsHQ.com, too.
Oh, okay. Very good. I can do that, too. We can get that arranged. That'd be faster, for sure.
And how do people find your website on Facebook?
It's just go into, I guess, the Facebook search engine, type in Neighborhood Watch, but it's with a U, so it's N-E-I-G-H-B-O-U-R. H-O-O-D, watch.
Wait, let me type it in. Okay.
And, yeah, it's there. And from there, there's links to music, the online store, which we have. I'm not a big fan of it, but we licensed our product to, like, one of these places that can print stuff up and do it all on demand, and then we just get a little cut, a little taste of it, which not how we normally do things, but with the pandemic, it's nobody wants to sit on 200 t-shirts in their house, so
I know, right?
You know, like, if it was another time, if it wasn't during this time, we would have them all printed up locally, because we always try and support the local shops and screen printing places. But, just this time of the year, with everything going on, it's just impossible. It's impossible. No one's got the room to hold a bunch of merch either. And this way here, you know, people can order it, they click it, it's sent out, and it's better, I think, for anybody that's overseas. Because this company has a site over there that they can send stuff out from, so the shipping's cheaper. I mean, do you want to pay double for a T-shirt just because, you know, the shipping is 50% of the cost? Probably not.
Right.
Anyway.
Well, I'm looking for Neighborhood Watch, and I'm not finding your band.
Okay. Let me see. Hang on, Candace. I'll grab my glasses.
N-E-I-G-H-B-O-U-R-H-O-O-D, right?
Yeah. So it's got the old English spelling.
Okay.
One sec here.
Maybe if I put in Canada, punk band in Canada?
Let me find out.
Maybe that'll help. Because the other Neighborhood Watch, here it is. I found you. It's red, black, and white logo.
Yes.
Formed 1984, New Brunswick, Canada, original hardcore punk band. Is that you?
That's us.
Well,
that
I'm already following you guys. I've noticed you guys in the past, so that's cool.
Oh,
hey, and I see
you.
A link to our radio show is on there, too. Thank you.
You're welcome. I put that on today there. Sure, I've posted before about the Mystic Radio thing, if not on the band page, then on my personal page. And I always try and help support people that we know and that we agree with and want to work with, or even if it's people we don't work with, but, you know, we like what they're doing. Like, we have no problem doing that. It's I mean, it's just a link, right? You know.
That's fantastic.
No big
Thank
deal.
You. I love it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Okay, well, we're winding down to the last 5 minutes of the show.
Time flies. Wow.
It does. So is
so,
there
last
anything,
5 minutes.
Is there anything else you would like to tell our listeners out there about your band?
We're kind of waiting. We've been working on some new songs. And, again, because of the pandemic, it makes it really hard for everybody to get together. And some of us are in, I'm not in the middle of it, but a couple of the other guys are in the middle of moving and selling houses and doing all kinds of craziness. But, yeah, we've got some more new music coming, and hopefully we'll get some demo, you know, at least some freebie demo versions up that people can check out, at some point. But, that'll be a while. I mean, right now it's kind of weird. Everybody's all separated out, and yeah, it is what it is. It's hard for a band to work in this kind of. It's hard to work under these circumstances. That's all I have to say about that.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and I'd hate to see your phone bill after an hour on the phone from Canada to United States.
No, I've got free long distance.
Oh, sweet. Good enough.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that
works. I'm doing all right with that.
I tried to call you from my soundboard, and it froze it, so I guess it didn't want to take me to Canada. So I appreciate you calling in. That was really nice of you. And
no problem. Thank you for having me. I greatly appreciate it.
Yes, yes, and we'll look forward to listening to your music, and I'm sure that we'll have room for Neighborhood Watch on our 50 years of Mystic anniversary album.
Outstanding. I hope so. I hope you'll like it. If not, it's totally okay. I'll live. But no, I hope you do enjoy it. I'd like to say we had a lot of fun recording it, but it was recorded under some odd circumstances. So, you know, it was definitely a labor of labor. I wouldn't say a labor of love, but we got it done. It was we come back from tour, and I had developed a terrible throat infection, but studio time was studio time, and so yeah. I did not have a good time doing it.
Oh,
but,
I'm sorry to hear that. Well, being that I've already liked your page, I obviously like your music because I don't like just anybody's page because they want me to. I like it because I actually do like it, so.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Guarantee you a spot on our album, definitely.
Awesome. I will let the fellows know, and then they can start deciding what they want to do, and they'll get back. They'll talk to you about it. I don't get into too much of the
That's
legal
fine.
Aspects of anything.
That's all fine.
Okay.
So we're going to leave you with I Hate Cops, and you have a great day, and don't you forget to party or go home.
I will indeed. You too. Take care.
Thank you, Grant.
No problem, Candace. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
Gotcha.
Okay, well, we love our Men in Blue, and thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time. Bye.